Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
It's a joy to be back here at the Portland Pentecostals. My wife is en route. She's flying right now to Portland with my son. So I'll be picking them up here in a few hours. And we look forward to our time together as we always do. We love being here. And we've been here a lot now over the last 5 or 6 years or so. I don't know. And you look older. And the only solace that we can take is we're all aging at the same time. Amen. Nobody's getting older faster. We're all aging at the same time. And but coming here just about every 6 months for the last, 5 or so years or more, we've loved being here. And as I said it this morning, I said, you can't hide from me anymore. I can't hide from you. You can't fake it with me, and I can't fake it with you. And in this morning's service, had a great service, a great move of God. But I could also feel just that this church has been through it. And this church has been through the battle. This church has been going through the fight and the struggle. Amen. And to say that I'm struggling is not a negative thing, because to say that I'm struggling is to say that I'm still fighting. Amen. Amen. Sometimes to stop struggling means to give up and to stop fighting, to throw in the towel, to retreat, and to allow defeat as your finality. But there's people here today, and I honor you, I commend you, and I rejoice with you that you're still here. Amen. You might be weak in body, you might be weak in your mind, but you are still here. You are still here. Amen. And Paul said, sometimes he said, I have to do everything I know what to do, I know how to do. He said, doing all just to stand. And you're still here. You're still standing, so to speak. Amen. But nevertheless, I do know that I could feel it just in my spirit, praying and worshiping with you today, that you definitely have been through a struggle. Can I get a head nod from somebody? You have been through a struggle. Amen. And I can feel some of the aftermath of a battle going on. So the Lord has directed me today, as well as next Sunday, to talk to you about the water and the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we have to church tomorrow night together, Tuesday night. We'll get into some other things tomorrow night and Tuesday night as the Lord wills. And then again next week we'll be together Sunday and then Tuesday. But today and next Sunday we're going to preach and talk about the water and the Spirit. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So beginning in John chapter 3, I'm going to read several verses, and I may, just depending on how I feel here, directed of God, I may get into several verses. I only got into really two different passages of Scripture this morning, and the Lord stepped in during the reading of these passages and the preaching of these words. So that may be as far as we go today, and we'll go deeper into it next week. But we'll start somewhere here, and I believe that it's important. It'd be a great starting point to start with the words of Jesus. And John, in the book of John, chapter 3, we find a story that many of you may be familiar with, and we know that in the first couple of verses that a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, one who was very spiritual, very religious, and he was one of the ministers in that day. And the Bible lets us know that he came to Jesus in secrecy at night, in private, possibly for the sake of covering himself, approaching Jesus, who the Pharisees did not agree with. And so he came to Jesus in secret and private at nighttime, as to not disband him and ostracize him from his group, his organization, his fellow believers. He began to talk to Jesus in the first couple of verses, In verse 3, Jesus answers him. And it's funny because he doesn't really even respond to the context or the thought that Nicodemus came to him with. But Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. And when Jesus said, verily, verily, these aren't words. This is not a word that we really use today. Not that I'm aware of, at least. And haven't heard it here in Portland very much. Other than reading from the King James Bible. But he is telling him, pay attention, because I'm about to say something very important. Another translation would be truly, truly. But still, we don't even say that when I'm about to say something. One maybe modern vernacular phrase would be, you know, when you say, okay, all joking aside. When you say, all joking aside, I'm about to say something very serious. That's what he was saying. He said, so all joking aside, all other conversation aside, I'm saying something very serious. He said, I say to you that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we see the content of the serious conversation that Jesus was trying to deliver to this man Nicodemus. We know that the context, the subject matter is the kingdom of God. Yeah. And he tells him just point blank that if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus responds and says, how can a man be born when he is old? And all the old men out there said, amen. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly, listen to what I'm about to say to you. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So notice the first time he says it in verse 3, he says, except a man be born again, this phrase, born again, it has become a common phrase within Christianity, and people have many different phrases or many different connotations and definitions and understandings of this phrase, born again. And when he said born again, this was the first time, obviously, that this religious man, Nicodemus, had ever heard this phrase. And so when he heard the phrase, born again, he was perplexed and confused, not fully understanding the meaning of this phrase. So when he asked Jesus what he's talking about, what do you mean born again? The second time Jesus says it, he doesn't say born again. He says born of water and of the Spirit. So he gives him a deeper understanding, a deeper explanation and revelation of what born again means. It does not mean going back into your mother's womb and being born a second time. It does not mean attending church. It does not mean believing in God. It does not mean feeling joy. It does not mean giving to the poor. He says born of water and of the Spirit. But in verse 3 he says, if he's not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The second time he says this phrase, after being questioned by Nicodemus, he says, born of water and of Spirit. But then he extrapolates seeing the kingdom of God and goes deeper and says, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm preaching to a people today that obviously simply by your church attendance, you have confessed your desire to be in the kingdom of God. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God.
Now, you want to be saved when it's time to go to heaven, when it's time, whether you die before the rapture takes place. And then the angel Gabriel blows the trumpet and the rapture takes place and your body is resurrected from the grave, and you go to heaven. You are caught up in the air to meet Jesus there, and you're judged righteous, and you are in his mercy and grace, and you have been born of the water and of the Spirit, and now you enter into his kingdom of heaven. However, the kingdom of God is not just over there at another time, tomorrow, in eternity. The kingdom of God is here and now. The kingdom of God is not just a place that we go to over there. It's not just a time that we wait for over yonder. It is a place here. It is a time unto us now. This is why Jesus, when Jesus said in teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Your name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Where and when? He said, "On earth as it is in heaven." Jesus even said, when you pray, you ought to pray not just for your salvation, to go to his kingdom in heaven one day when the trumpet sounds, but you need to pray, "God, let your kingdom take place here in this life, in Portland, in my family, in my home, in my marriage, with my children, in our life, in our society. Let your kingdom be done. Let it be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven." So this kingdom of God that Jesus is teaching Nicodemus about, it's not just some far off place. It's not just some far off time for which we cannot fathom or understand. We cannot reach. No, it is for here and it is for now. And I've got a newsflash for every one of you. There is no sickness in heaven. And he said, "Let what's done in heaven be done here on earth." There is no division in heaven. So let what's done in heaven be done in Portland. There is no violence in heaven. There is no anxiety in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. There is no suicide in heaven. There is no death in heaven. So let thy kingdom that is in heaven be fulfilled in my family, in my city, in my neighborhood. Let your kingdom be seen, be felt, be experienced in this life. Somebody clap your hands for a moment with faith for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I've got a burden for the lost of this city. I've got a burden for the addicted of Portland. I've got a burden for them. Do you know why? Because Jesus said, if you're not born again, if you have not experienced the water, here's the water over here. We've got water prepared for somebody that's never experienced this baptism of the water before. We've got it already filled to the top. We've got it warmed. We've got it cleaned. We've got it. It's all fresh. I don't know if it's Kangen water, Fiji water. I don't know. It might just be tap water. But it's clean water, it's fresh water, it's warm water. I've seen people down baptized down at the Willamette River when it wasn't hot, when it wasn't, I don't know if it was clean or not, but it sure wasn't hot. It was cold, and they went down in that water. We got clean, fresh, warm water for you. And not only that, we got fresh, clean towels, and we've got changing rooms, and you don't have to get your clothes wet. We've got clothes, robes you can put on and be baptized and mess up the clothes that we've got for you, and you don't have to mess up your clothes. Aren't you happy about not messing up your fancy clothes? Hallelujah. Paid a lot of money for these clothes, and I ain't got to mess them up. And you can be baptized in the robes that we have, be dried with the towels that we provide, changing in the rooms that we give you. But guess what? You can be forgiven of all of your sins, having all of your sins washed away by the name that we speak over your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it 100 times more. Aren't you glad he didn't define how far you could be and you could not be? He said, even if you are afar off, he didn't say this is how far you can go. And once you cross that line, you can't ever be washed again. You can't ever be forgiven again. You can't ever be, whoa. He said, I don't care how far you go. No matter how far you are, I'll find you. You're never too far from my love. You're never too far from my grace. You're never too far from my spirit. I can find you. I can save you. I can deliver you with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God.
Woo. So you can be born again of the water and of the Spirit today. But this just isn't, this isn't a message just for those who have not received or experienced this. While I would consider you the VIP, for those of you that have not been born of the water and born of the Spirit, you're the most important person I'm preaching to. But this is also for everybody. This is for those that need a fresh remembrance, a fresh reminding, a fresh memory of what has happened to you. You were born. Yes. Were you born? You were born. Yes, you have been born. Whether you were born 12 years ago or 112 years ago, you were born. Whether it was here in Portland, Oregon, or Austin, Texas, like me, or somewhere else, you were born into this life. But when you were born into this life, the Bible says that we are all sinners, that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That David said, I was born into sin, and I was shapen in iniquity. When you were born the first time, you were born into a kingdom of sin, into a kingdom of darkness, and into a kingdom of immorality and carnality. You were born into the kingdom of the flesh. You were born into the kingdom of sin and the kingdom of addiction. And that's why this world fights. That's why this world struggles. That's why this world gets sideways with confusion and deception and darkness. The Bible goes on here in John chapter 3. Jesus even describes this birth. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, he just told him, if you want to come into my kingdom, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So here's his because. Here's his answer. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And my kingdom, God is saying to him, Jesus is telling, my kingdom, it is a spiritual place. It is a spiritual kingdom. No, it is not a kingdom that can be defined with physical parameters and measurements. No, it is not a kingdom of carnality, immorality, and division and hatred for one another. It is a heavenly kingdom. It is a spiritual place. And the only way you can get into this kingdom is by being born a second time, because your first birth was into a kingdom of the flesh, into a kingdom of sin, a kingdom of the world. So you've got to be born again to get into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this kingdom. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the sin always coming against me. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my own flesh. I can't wait for that glorified body. I can't wait for that spiritual body. I can't wait till I don't have any more pain in my body. I don't have to worry about sickness anymore. I don't have to worry about death anymore. I don't have to worry about loneliness. Oh, I'm going to preach to somebody. When I am born again into the kingdom of God, I am born into a spiritual kingdom where no longer do I have to be alone. No longer do I have to be depressed. No longer do I have to be distraught. No longer do I have to be lost in darkness. But when I am born again,
again of the water and of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. Now I possess the name of God and the Spirit of God inside of me. I may look like I'm alone, but I'm never alone. I've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with me. The Bible says, if God be for me, it doesn't matter who is against me. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Let me show you what Romans 8, y'all are the blessed congregation today, even though you slept in. I'm going to give you another verse I didn't give to the morning service. At Romans 8, verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore, now we got to stop right there. Therefore, you don't start a sentence, you don't start a story with therefore. So it's like saying because what? Well, he's talking about walking in the Spirit here. So he's talking about being in the Spirit, and you've got to read the rest of the book of Romans, but this is chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus. A lot of people think I'm in Christ Jesus because you just simply believe in him. And I'm not condemning that. I think you ought to believe. But see, I believe that I have a son. Me and my son, we're not in one another. But to be in Christ is to have Christ in you. And the Bible goes on and says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, there's that water in the Spirit right there, because you can't have Christ in you until you take upon the name of Jesus in baptism of the water. And then in order to go after the Spirit, you are baptized by the Spirit of God. So you have been born again into the kingdom of God. Now notice it says, and I could preach a whole long time here about no condemnation, but let me just, I'm following the Holy Ghost right now because I feel like we need to deal with this for a second. It says there is now no condemnation. It doesn't say there's a little bit of guilt, there's a little bit of shame, there's a little bit of condemnation. Every now and then that condemnation springs up inside of you and you feel guilty and you feel ashamed and you feel anxiety because of the mistakes you've made and the failures you've committed and the sins that you've committed and the problems that you have suffered and the things that you have done reoccurringly over and over and over. There's a little bit of guilt and shame and condemnation that he allows you to walk in so that you don't do it again. No, it says when you are in Christ Jesus and when you have the Spirit in you, there is no more condemnation. So let me just ask you point blank, what are you doing letting the spirit of condemnation weigh you down anymore? For those of you that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, I think it's time for you to rise up against the spirit of guilt and shame and condemnation and say, hey, listen to me, Satan. You might as well let go of me. You might as well get behind me because you forgot something. I've been to a place that you cannot go. I've been in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been to the waters of baptism. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you cannot torment me anymore. I am not a slave to condemnation. I am not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to my shame anymore. I have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Let me go a little further. I want to be in that kingdom of God. This is why I want to be in that kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of the flesh, in the kingdom of sin, in the kingdom of failures, there is condemnation and there is guilt and there is shame. And I don't want to live in that shadow of darkness anymore. Some of you need to step out of that darkness and into his marvelous light today. The Bible goes on in verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. You obey the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they obey the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
I want to be spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it is an opposition to God. That means there is literally hostility between your flesh and the Spirit of God. It goes on and says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. See, this is the problem with people that have not been born of the water and the Spirit into the kingdom of God, because they cannot please God in the flesh. It doesn't matter how much you try, you can't please God in your flesh. It goes on and says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, Romans 8 is the same sermon I'm preaching to you today. He wrote this letter to the church in Rome, and he was preaching the same sermon I'm preaching a couple thousand years later. He said, listen, stop obeying the flesh. Stop obeying the kingdom of this world. Stop obeying the carnality of this world. Stop obeying the temptations of this world. Stop obeying the desires of the flesh. He said, you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. And then he kind of clarified. To those of you that are reading this letter, to those of you that have been born of the Spirit, he said, you are walking in the Spirit. He said, you are not in the flesh anymore. He goes on and says, now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, see, he's referring to those in the congregation of Rome that have not yet been born of the water and of the Spirit. He says, to those of you that have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not, it says, he is none of his, which means he does not belong to Christ. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, or in other words, the body may die because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Jump down to verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many, listen to this, verse 14, it's an important one here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, you're not a child of God until you've been born into the kingdom of God. And he says right here, when you are led by the Spirit, when you're no longer led by the flesh, when you're no longer led by the addictions and the carnal mind of the flesh, but when you choose to be led by the Spirit of God, you become a child of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That was your first birth. In your first birth, you receive the spirit of bondage, of fear. That's why you don't have to teach a child how to be afraid. I've never once shown my son a movie or anything that had to do with monsters under his bed or people, bad people in his closet. But at 4 years old, he's already afraid of those things. There's just inerrant fear in him because he was born into this kingdom, into bondage of fear. But Paul says, don't be afraid anymore. He said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Watch this, that we are the children of God. That was a lot of reading, but I think we needed to hear it today because you need to be reminded and you need to declare, hey, Satan, I'm not your child. I used to be your slave. I used to be a slave to the drink and to the drug. I used to be a slave to darkness and depression, but I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. This is why I dance. This is why I shout. This is why I get excited, because I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I am a child of God. Oh, would you just clap your hands and lift up your voice? place, if you are thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, the water and the Spirit. Woo! Jesus says, unless you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to remind those of you that have already been born again of the water and of the Spirit, being baptized in the name of Jesus, having received the Spirit of God with the initial sign and evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. For those of you that have already experienced this and received this wonderful experience, I want to remind you to walk in the kingdom of God. I felt it this morning in my spirit that this there's been a season of struggle. And I'm not just talking about, I mean, that could seem very obvious. You could look around and say, well, yeah. I mean, look at the last year and a half to 2 years. Look at what everybody's been going through. But I'm just talking specifically to this local body right now, this congregation. I'm not just referring to any one thing, whether it's a pandemic, sickness, disease, death. I'm not talking to just one thing, but I'm talking about there has been an uphill battle. Something has been fighting. Oh, man, something has been pushing against the progress and the momentum of this church, this local body. Something has been trying to hold you back, push you back. There's been times where you thought, well, we can get through this. We can get over this. We can break down this wall. We can break through these chains. We can travel through this valley and get through this storm. But after weeks and after months of praying, and after weeks and after months of believing, and after even over a year maybe for some of you, you've prayed and you fasted and you've believed and you've had faith, all of a sudden you felt like when Jesus said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I want to remind you to walk in the kingdom of God. I want to remind you, you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. When the flesh is weak, step into the kingdom of God. When the flesh has nothing left, walk in the Spirit. When your capacity has been exhausted, when you don't have any more energy, you don't have any more intellect, you don't have the ability in your flesh, remember this: I have been born again. All I have is not just this flesh. I've got something greater than my flesh to depend upon. When my flesh is weak and my flesh is distraught, I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. And when my flesh can't get me through the valley, I can get through the valley as long as I walk in the Spirit. When I step into the kingdom of God, and I remember I am a new creature. This flesh can't get it done, but I've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. Well, somebody just wave a hand unto the Lord right now as a sign, as a testimony, as a confession that says, God, you're speaking to me right now. My flesh is weak. My mind is weary. You are reminding me today to walk in the kingdom of God. I've been trying to do it in my flesh. I've been trying to finish it in my flesh. I've been trying to complete it in my flesh. I've been trying to get through this battle in my flesh. And you sent this preacher to remind me the battle's not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So step into the kingdom of God. Here's a revelation for you. God can't fight your battles if you're fighting them yourself. God can't fight with you when you're doing it in the flesh. But when you get into his kingdom, he says, now I'll fight for you. When you get into my kingdom, my spirit can fight for you. When you step into my kingdom, my sword will be your sword. My shield will be your shield. My words will be your words. Yeah, we've been fighting, haven't we? We've been struggling, haven't we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous, the people that have not been born of the water and of the Spirit, the ones that still walk in the flesh, it says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Don't look at your neighbor and say, that's you. nor effeminate, nor abusers. Nobody look at your neighbor right now. You know, preachers, turn to your neighbor and say something. Don't be looking to your neighbor right now. Just point your finger at yourself and say, I've been one of those before. Nor abusers of themselves, of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice, he says, don't be deceived. Those that walk in the flesh, those that try to do the things in their flesh, those that please the desires and fulfill the desires of their flesh, they are not kingdom minded. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Told them this morning how we've had like four straight months of just revivals and camps, and it seems like we've had church every night the last 4 months, and we didn't go home for four straight months, and now I'm on the road for like 6 or 7 weeks without going home, but we're not complaining. I'm just saying it's been great. We've been seeing great things happen. Just last Sunday, it was amazing. We saw 10 new people filled with the Holy Ghost and several of them baptized in Jesus' name. But the last couple months were somewhat of an uphill battle. We had a great time. We saw great progress and momentum. But man, there was just this pushback a little bit, and there was this opposition, you know, because of kind of what we're going through right now as humanity and as people, and it seems like it's difficult sometimes to link up with one another. It seems like it's become more and more difficult than ever to link up and to unify together and to put aside our differences and become as one and say, hey, I know you may be on this side of the aisle on that subject, and I'm on this side of the aisle. But we've been blood washed and we've been born again of the Spirit. So let's become one. And I know it's difficult, more difficult than I've ever experienced, and probably more than you've ever experienced, because there's so many trivial things that are divisive in our society today. And I mean, whether it's the color of your skin or the way that you voted, or do you wear a mask or do you not wear a mask? Have you been shot or have you not been shot? Do you believe in this or do you not believe in this? Do you do that or do you not do that? Do you go there or not go there? Do you whatever this or whatever that? And it's like there's so many things that are coming up with the effort of being divisive in humanity and in our church. And it's so difficult to say, you know what, I may not agree with you on that thing, but you know what, that's trivial stuff. That's the worldly kingdom stuff. All of this stuff of the kingdom, that's of the kingdom of the world, is dividing us from the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? That the trivial things of this world, and I'm not trying to just trivialize, I mean, my God, we've been through it. I'm not trying to disrespect you, but you say, are you belittling my problem? Yeah, I am belittling our problems. When we look at God and we look at eternity, the moment we step into eternity, we're going to think, man, those problems weren't as big as I thought they were. The moment we open our eyes and see how big God really is, we're going to realize that devil wasn't as big as I thought. God's way bigger than I thought, and Satan's a lot smaller than I thought. I'm just saying it plain. From Portland to South Dakota, where I just came from, where they haven't even heard that there has been a pandemic yet. They haven't had a mask mandate, social distancing. You know, they say, we've been social distancing for decades. You know, it's South Dakota. They haven't heard of COVID-19, 20, or 21. They haven't heard of any of them. And they just keep on going. It's amazing. And you know, if you know, we went and visited Mount Rushmore. It's in South Dakota. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I don't know. We went and visited Mount Rushmore. If Mount Rushmore was in Portland, they'd have masks on those presidents up there. If they hadn't, you know, bombed the place already, who knows? If they hadn't torn it down yet, I don't know. They might have done that. But if they hadn't torn down Mount Rushmore, they would have put masks up there for sure. And then they would have cut them in half and separated them, you know, about 6 feet apart from each other because they're real close. I mean, but it don't matter whether you're here, because you think, well, it's here in Portland because of all the, you know, whatever, the political stuff, the whatever you want to call it. You say, what's in Portland? No, I just spent several months in South Dakota. It's there too. And they don't have the mask and they don't have the social distancing and they don't have all that stuff. And it's great. It's been awesome being able to live like a normal person without having to wear a mask everywhere, all that stuff. And I'm not against masks. I'm just saying it's been fun to, you know, not have to worry about it all the time. And it's there too. The same division that's here is there too. I'm just saying, this is, it's like the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, South Dakota is, as far as I know I'll probably get corrected, but I read that South Dakota is the only place in the world that didn't have an official mask mandate. And you think, well, it must be amazing. The same spirit of division that's here is there too. Because the spirit of division doesn't care what you're divided over as long as you're divided. Right. Just like I've said before, the spirit of fear doesn't care what you're afraid of as long as you're afraid. So the spirit of fear, whether it be Satan or one of his other workers, he says, well, if you're not afraid of me, I'll just make you afraid of each other. Spirit of fear doesn't care what you're afraid of as long as you're afraid. Same as the spirit of division. Doesn't care what you're divided over as long as something divides you. So I'm just going to plant every kind of seed I can. Racial division and political division and economic division and demographic division and geographic division and all sorts of division and generational division and religious division and all sorts of division. If I can just divide the people. Woo. And see, so Paul is saying here, unrighteous people, they cannot see, just like Jesus said, they cannot see or they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11, he just makes it plain. And the reason why I mention South Dakota is because in order to hit some of these things dead on, I had to say kind of what Paul said. He said, and such were some of you. He just listed thieves, adulterers, idolaters, effeminate, and all these other sins. And he said, such were some of you. I got the microphone, so I'm going to say it. Well, he didn't have the microphone, but he had the pen. And he said, and such were some of you. Man, that's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? You want to say, no, and such were some of them. He said, no, such were some of you. You were adulterers and fornicators and idolaters and this and blasphemers and this and this and this. Yeah, such were some of you. You were divided. You were divided all over these situations and sins and all these things. Such were some of you. And in order to break through some of the spiritual oppositions in South Dakota, I had to have one of these honest Paul moments and say, hey, look, this is what we're dealing with. We've got this in the church. We've got division in the church. We've got criticism in the church. We've got people that are sitting on the same pew who don't love each other, who don't like each other, don't respect each other. They might be 6 feet apart. They might be 3 feet apart. They might be 2 feet apart, but spiritually they're worlds apart because they've got one little thing. You wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. You shot or you're not shot. You vote this way. You vote that way. We got all these things that are dividing us, even though we sit just a few feet apart from each other. And we had to say some of these honest things. And it was tough for a little while. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes, just getting honest and saying, look, this is what we're dealing with as a church and as a society. We're dealing with these things. Let's just get honest. We're all dealing with this stuff. We're all in the same boat. We're all going to the same plate. We're all dealing with the same storms and valleys. Such were some of you. But he goes on and he says, but not anymore. Such were some of you. He said, but now you are washed. You are sanctified. In other words, you've been set apart. You're not set apart from each other anymore. You're set apart from the things that used to divide one another. You're not involved with that anymore. You used to be messed up with sin, messed up with darkness, messed up with anxiety, but now you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, somebody worship him for just a moment. I see some dead faces just nodding their heads. There ought to be a thankfulness. Why don't you stand on your feet for a moment and say, I used to be a sinner. I used to be lost. I used to be imprisoned by the kingdom of the world. But now I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been through the water. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not who I used to be. I don't do what I used to do because I've been born again by the water and the Spirit of God. Clap your hands, somebody. Lift up your voice, somebody. Shout unto the Lord. Give God a Holy Ghost praise. Hallelujah. Remain standing today. Everybody stand if you're capable of standing. There ought to be so much thankfulness right now that says, I could still be in that kingdom. I could still be in that house. I could still be in that situation. I could still be in that darkness. I could still be messed up with that confusion. I could still think that that drug was my way out. I could still think that that relationship was my way out. But that all happened when I was imprisoned by the kingdom of the world, by the kingdom of sin. But one day I went down into that water in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I was filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And all of a sudden my spiritual eyes opened up like a newborn baby born again of the water and Spirit. And when I came out of the second womb, I realized the first womb was holding me back. The first kingdom was holding me a sinner. The first kingdom was holding me imprisoned. The first kingdom was holding me back. But as I was born again into the kingdom of God, I see what the Lord really wants to do in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. See, you can feel this weight on us right now. I can feel like just a wet blanket laying on our church right now. There's just this, I feel like I'm walking through mud in my spirit. There's just this, I'm here, but I'm struggling. I'm here, but it's hard to pick up my feet and keep moving. I can feel it. I feel what you feel right now. Hallelujah. The Lord brought me here today to remind you. You have been blood washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified. What does that mean? Justified. One easy way to remember what it means is it sounds like just as if I. Justified is literally what it means is when you're justified, you become a new creature just as if you had never committed that sin. Just as if I had never messed up. Just as if I had never been a sinner. He says, you've been set apart, sanctified. Set apart for what? Just to attend church? No. His blood wasn't that cheap. Just to send you to church? But he bought you with his own blood that you would become the light of the world. There's a greater purpose for you than to just go to church. There's a greater purpose for you than to just sit in the church and hear a sermon, hear some guy jump and dance over here and spit all over the place. There's a greater purpose for you. His blood is not that cheap. His blood bought you to be different, to do different things, to be set apart. And then his blood justified you as if it never happened before. Whew. See, in the kingdom of the world, you can ask for forgiveness and they can say, okay, I forgive you. But they'll still treat you like that sin or like that mistake you made years ago. They'll forgive you for a moment, but the next time you get in a fight, they'll bring up that mistake you made years ago. See, but in the spiritual kingdom of God, when you're justified, he don't bring up those old sins. Thank you, Jesus. My heart brings them up. When God says, this is what I want you to do, my heart says, no, but 10 years ago, you remember you used to do this? God says, I threw that away into the sea of forgetfulness when I justified you with the water and Spirit. You are a new creature. I want you to take a moment and just lift up your hands right now and close your eyes. And I want you to just envision this sacrifice that Jesus has paid for us to give us the baptism of the water and of the Spirit. The price that he paid. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means the sin in your life, the wages of your sin is supposed to be your death. But Jesus said, I'll pay the wages for you. I'll die for you. And when Jesus said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? What Jesus was feeling, he was feeling the eternal separation from his Father. That's what you should feel for the death of your sin. But Jesus said, nope, I'm not going to let them feel that separation from the Father. I'm going to die for their sin in their place. And I'm going to feel that depression. I'm going to feel the grief of being separated from the Father for eternity so that they never have to feel that if they will receive my sacrifice with repentance, with the baptism of the water in the name of Jesus and the infilling of my spirit. They will never feel the separation from the Father. Lift your voice right now in thankfulness and praise to Him for what He has purchased for you. God, I worship you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to Him. Wide lift your hands, because that's a sign of surrender, saying, God, I surrender to what you have done for me. I surrender to your sacrifice. I surrender to the baptism of your water and spirit. I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you. And my hands are lifted because I want to receive the power of the water and the spirit, the power of your kingdom. Come on, seek after Him for a moment. Musicians can come while we pray, while we worship Him together. Come on, worship Him together for just a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give instruction for this time of prayer. We're going to have a time of prayer right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, it would be crazy. You can put your hands down if you feel to, but it would be crazy, wouldn't it, to go to a restaurant and have them serve the food and don't eat it. This is where we eat the food right now. We've had the songs of praise go forth, the word of God go forth, and now it's time to sit down, get out our fork and knife and say, God, I want to eat this word. I want it to get inside of me, Lord. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is where we respond by faith to the word of God. We don't just respond by understanding. There's nothing wrong with it, saying, I understand what he's saying. I'm going to respond to that. But sometimes the word goes beyond what we can understand. And that's when we say, I'm going to respond by faith. There's no one in here that can understand every scripture of the Bible and can tell you everything there is to know about the word of God. But the reason why we're here is because we say by faith, I'm responding to the word. So when I'm talking and preaching about being born again of the water and of the spirit, still in my little finite brain, there's no way I can possibly fathom that. Being born again of his spirit that I can't see, being born again of the water by his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, having all of my sins washed away, that's beyond something I can comprehend. I can understand why we should do it, because he said to do it. He said you must be born again of the water and the spirit. But to understand how it all works, there's no way. So I'm not going to say, well, I'll wait until I fully can explain it and use logic and have equations and algorithms to understand it all. No. I'm going to say, God, by faith, I'm going to respond to your word in the name of Jesus. Right now, I just want to ask a question. Is there anyone here who has never been born again, as Jesus said, of the water and of the spirit? You've never been baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you raise a hand if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus? Anybody over here? So if your hand's down, that means I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Anybody over here? I have somebody pointing. Oh, right here. We've got two right here. Awesome. Awesome. Keep your hand up for a second. If you get tired, switch hands, because you'll help break the ice. There's a third over here. Is there anybody else? You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, not in the titles of Jesus, the titles of Jesus, like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those are the titles of him. But the Bible says to go forth and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Everybody in this room knows what that name is, Jesus. Amen. So we have three or four, maybe, who have not been baptized in the water. Okay. You can put your hands down. Man, I love it. They're awesome. So today, if you want to be baptized, you don't have to get your clothes messed up. We've got robes, clean, fresh, warm water, changing rooms, towels, the whole deal. But best of all, you don't have to walk out of here holding that weight anymore. Holding that condemnation anymore. excuse me, you don't have to walk out of here holding that grudge anymore on your heart and holding that question in your mind. If the Lord were to come back, would I be ready? You don't have to question that anymore. We can baptize you today. Out of the four or five that raised your hand, if any of you want to answer that question right now, I want to be baptized. What I want you to do is just come down and stand with me right here, right now, if you want to be baptized today. Just come stand with me. Here comes one right here. Come on, brother. Come on, man. What's your name?
Mauricio.
Mauricio, you just face this way for a second. And if anybody else decides, I guarantee you there's going to be more who decide today because you broke the ice. Now, quickly, the Bible says also being born of the Spirit, okay? There's two separate experiences. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But in that baptism, there's distinctively two parts of that baptism, the water and the Spirit. Amen. It's very easy to understand. Amen. And so if there's anybody in here that's never been born again of the Spirit, meaning you have never been filled with the Spirit of God, how do you know if you've been filled with an invisible Spirit? You say, do you feel this? Do you feel that? Well, the common normal experience in the book of Acts that happened throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Acts, was there was a sign and evidence that everybody could see, everybody could hear, and it was speaking in other tongues, speaking other languages, sounds you've never spoken before. That evidence is a grace, a provision of grace from God, so that we don't have to walk around saying, well, I think I've been filled because I felt this or felt that. No, there is a tangible sign that when it occurs, you know for sure, I've been filled with God's Spirit. Amen. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't preach or believe here that you need to come up here and just speak in tongues. We don't teach that. We say you come and respond to the Word of God, and you abandon yourself. You let go of control, and you begin to worship God. And the Bible says that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it says that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So no one's going to ask you to come up here and say, okay, this is how you speak in tongues. That's not what we're going to do. We would pray for you and say, this is how we receive the Spirit of God. What we like to do, and again, this is just a way to help us praise and worship God. We'll lift up our hands and we'll begin to worship God. We'll abandon ourselves through repentance, saying, God, forgive me of my sins. And while we're worshiping him, not repenting, but when we move into worship and praise, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I promise you, while you're praising God, that he will fill you with his Spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow the rivers of living water. Amen. So if you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, with the evidence, the initial sign of speaking in tongues, would you raise a hand? Raise a hand. Anybody that's never had this experience? I know there's several. Amen. We'll just wait for a moment. And as soon as the first person raises their hand, then it'll release faith and everybody else will start raising their hand. Have you ever received the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues? Would you raise a hand if you have never had this happen? Anybody in this section over here? Anybody? Here's one back in the back. Keep it up. Keep it up. Amen. Amen. We've got one so far. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? So if your hand is down, you're saying, I have received the Spirit of God speaking in other tongues. Amen. And so anybody else? We've got one so far. Amen. Brother, would you want to come up here and stand with us right now? And just take a step of faith. Awesome. Brother Martin, will you come with him as he comes up to the front? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your faith. Awesome. What's your name?
Miguel.
Awesome. Awesome. How many of you feel, and don't, please, this isn't for me, okay? This is not for my affirmation, all right? I'm good. I know I'm in the Holy Ghost today. But how many of you know the Lord was speaking to me today? The Lord was speaking to me today. God had a word for me today. I need to be refreshed in God's Spirit today. I need to remember I have been born again. The water in his name and his Spirit. If you know that the Lord was speaking to you and you know the Lord was reaching for you, this is an opportunity for you to reach back to him. I want you to step out if you know God was reaching for me today. Would you step out and come to this front as quickly as you can, and we're going to pray together and I'm going to give instruction. But if you know God was calling your name today, he was reaching for your heart today. I see several faces that were crying while I was preaching and you're not moving yet. So I want you to step out. If you know you felt emotional, you felt goosebumps, you felt some sort of hope, some sort of faith, some sort of desire, something that the Lord was reaching for you for, I want you to step out by faith. Come right now. This is your chance to receive what God was trying to reach for you for during the service, what he was trying to pour out upon you during the service. This is your chance to say, God, I am abandoning myself. I'm abandoning my ways. I'm letting go of control, Lord. I'm surrendering my mind and my life to you, Lord. I'm surrendering of everything that I am, and I'm giving myself to you. In fact, I want everybody under the sound of my voice to close your eyes and just take a moment. Just take a moment and pray that prayer of repentance right now. Come on, lift up your voice. Don't just do it silently in your mind. Lift up your voice right now and begin to say, God, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I repent of my sins in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me of my sins and my failures. Lord, I am abandoning my sins, my ways, my desires. I want to receive your love again. Your spirit again. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go ahead, come on, pray.